From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Robert Siegel, and now, All Tech Considered. Generally, in this segment, we explore how digital technology is changing the way we live. Well, today we're going to look at how it's also changing the way we die. The internet has brought with it new bereavement rituals and also new legal questions that would have been unthinkable only a few years ago. In a few minutes, we'll talk about this with our regular technology contributor, Omar Gayaga of the Austin American-Statesman. But first, here's NPR's Yuki Noguchi with a consideration of death in the digital age.
Kristen Wiggins is her sorority sister's keeper, in a way. 9 months after 23-year-old Jennifer Lewis's death from ovarian cancer, Wiggins keeps the password to her Facebook account and watches over it.
People use it as a memorial site in a way where they go on there and they'll say, you know, I was thinking about you, Jen, I love you, you'll always be missed.
Wiggins does this also to promote the foundation established in Jennifer's name, all with her friend's family's blessing. But there are other examples where keeping the memory of someone alive online becomes far more complicated.
You could imagine three or four siblings having a difference of opinion as to whether to leave something up for memorial sake or not.
John Dozier Jr. is president of the Dozier Internet Law Firm, a practice that sees cases where the law and technology come into conflict. In one recent case, a man's death prompted online looting.
Hackers came in and stole the domain names before the beneficiaries of the estate figured out he owned them. We ended up having to chase them all around the world, and we were fortunate to get them back.
In the past, a person's epitaph might be etched on a gravestone or in a newspaper obituary. That, Dozier says, changes online.
That concept of that being the final statement isn't so in a social networking environment, and you very much have the whiteboard or blackboard effect, where you never know what's going to be said.
Keeping the door open to new messages and photos can not only be painful, it's hard to prosecute defamation in cases where either the poster or the subject is dead.
Personally, I want my Facebook account just gone.
That's Jeremy Toman, whose own failed attempts trying to access his deceased grandmother's email account led to a new business, Legacy Locker. The company's service is essentially a safety deposit box of passwords and account information and instructions to survivors on how they want their online identity handled.
I have currently 15 what I deemed as important digital assets, and these did include, you know, my blog and Twitter, because I do use them for some work things. But they also include my email accounts. I have 6 different email addresses, my GoDaddy, my iTunes store credits.
The service would help his wife contact everyone he works with and let her know whether he'd want to have a continued life online. LegacyLocker.com launched last month and has more than 1,000 members.
That's NPR's Yuki Noguchi, and we're joined now, as we are most Mondays, by Omar Gayaga, who covers technology culture for the Austin American-Statesman. Welcome once again, Omar.
Thanks for having me.
Omar, when you die, who owns your email or your Facebook page, for that matter? Is the law actually clear on that?
Well, it really depends on the service. Things like Yahoo Mail and Google's Gmail, they all have different terms of how they handle a person's email or their account after they die. For instance, Yahoo and Gmail, they treated a user's email as private property, and they won't hand over the passwords or the emails to the family members without some serious legal action. Google's Gmail, for instance, requires a copy of a death certificate, copy of a power of attorney document or birth certificate, and an email sent from the account in question. So it's not really an easy thing to do, and it does bring up the issue of, you know, does Facebook own all of that information on your wall, or mm-hmm. do you? Will they open it up to relatives after you've died?
Is this question starting to crop up in people's wills? You know, I leave my Facebook page and login information to my children or something like that?
It absolutely is. You know, that we had at South by Southwest Interactive this year in March, there was a whole core conversation panel devoted to this topic. And it brings up so many thorny legal issues, so many ethical issues of, you know, even if you do have the legal authority to pour through a family member's email or their personal digital content, is it the right thing to do? And sites like Legacy Locker allow you to sort of decide those kinds of things beforehand so that your family members aren't having to question, you know, would they really want to poke through your email? There are plenty of services that will assist you in storing digital information, but sometimes something as simple as keeping a USB drive with all that information and passing it on to someone that you trust, a family member or a friend, that's better than just leaving all these questions unanswered.
What if you want all these questions answered, but you want the answer to be, nobody should have access to my stuff after I die. My email will go to the grave with me. Can you do that? Is there a service that will guarantee their deletion, say, upon your demise?
Well, not that I know of, but sometimes the best way not to have your email tampered with is just to do nothing. Sites like Gmail and Yahoo will delete an account after a certain period of inactivity. And like I said before, legally, it's a little bit difficult for people to get into your email. So sometimes, you know, it'll just go dead after a certain period of time.
Well, let's turn away from the legal questions here to the cultural ones, which is things like a Facebook page becoming an online condolence book, using the web as a site for mourning and grieving.
Right. That's one way to sort of get around the issue of not having the person's login and password. On Facebook, you can just post on a friend's Facebook wall, and oftentimes mourners will just begin posting their messages of love and their memories on a Facebook wall. There's a whole industry also of memorial sites like legacy.com. There's one called Gates of Remembrance, eObituary, that are the online equivalent of funeral homes. And just in the way somebody might pre-plan their own funeral, you could try mylastemail.com, where you can set up your own online obituary and your own online tribute to yourself. If you are known in life as a control freak, your close family and friends will understand the pains you took to get your afterlife virtual condolences right.
And then there are instances of virtual mourning online crossing over to real life, but also to fictional characters.
Right. You know, when Cal Penn's character died on the show House, the Fox TV website set up a virtual memorial for his character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year there was a case.
He didn't die. He went to the White House to work there, which is never heard from again. Yes.
Not to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but he committed suicide on the show and then, yeah, and led to a White House appointment. And then last year there was this case of these online mourners in the game World of Warcraft. They were holding a very solemn funeral for a woman who had died in real life. And it was crashed by an opposing party. They came in and made fun of them and crashed the party. And then they posted an online video about it that became a viral hit. So sometimes online, it's hard to get people to take death so seriously.
Well, Omar, thank you once again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Omar Gayaga, who covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman and for All Things Considered. And if you have had personal experience of these issues, share them with us and post to our new blog at www.npr.org/alltech. This is NPR, National Public Radio.